Now on.
We're on Luke 4.
Right. Where's my chapter here? Okay, we are going to open in prayer. Father, be with us tonight as we look into your word. We'd ask that you'd open our hearts and minds, give us understanding, and may your name be glorified among us tonight. In Jesus' name, amen. Okay, I'll start reading. And Jesus, being full of the Holy Ghost, returned from Jordan and was led by the Spirit into the wilderness, being 40 days tempted of the devil. And in those days he did eat nothing. And they were ended, he af and when they were ended, he afterward was hungry. And the devil said unto him, If thou be the Son of God, command this stone that it be made bread. And Jesus answered him, saying, It is written that man shall not live by bread alone, but by every word of God. And the devil, taking him up into a high mountain, showed unto him all the kingdoms of the world in a moment of time. And the devil said unto him, All this power will I give thee, and the glory of them. For that is delivered unto me, and to whomsoever I will, I give it. If thou therefore will worship me, all shall be thine. And Jesus answered and said unto him, Get thee behind me, Satan, for it is written, Thou shalt worship the Lord thy God, and him only shalt thou serve. And he brought him to Jerusalem and set him on a pinnacle of the temple and said unto him, If thou be the Son of God, cast thyself down from hence. For it is written, He shall give his angels charge over thee to keep thee. And in their hands they shall bear thee up, lest at any time thou dash thy foot against a stone. And Jesus answering said unto him, It is said, Thou shalt not tempt the Lord thy God. And when the devil had ended all the temptation, he departed from him for a season. And Jesus returned in the power of the Spirit into Galilee, and there went out a fame of him throughout all the region round about. I'm going to stop at verse 14 here because this is like a complete section. I think we could talk
Yeah.
about this first. Obviously, this is very the famous portion of it, describing the temptation of Jesus. Any thoughts offhand,
Yeah,
John?
I actually think about this a lot, and I was just talking to Carmen about this a couple of days ago.
Okay.
As I get older, I'm more and more convinced that, I guess when I was younger, people used to say, like, oh, that music is satanic.
Yeah.
And they would be talking about something like, the Beatles or, Led Zeppelin or whoever it was. And I was like, ah, they're not satanic. Slayer is satanic. They're overtly
Yeah.
satanic. But if it's not that, it's like, no, they're not satanic. But my point is, as I get older and older, I am more and more convinced that you will, if you are going to be a player on the world stage, you have to worship the God of this world. And if you're not, you will not have any fame. And I guess I know that this might sound extreme, but I'm convinced that all musicians, actors, exceptional athletes, they're all aligned with satanic and demonic powers.
Why?
Because what does Satan say? All this authority I will give you in their glory, for this has been delivered to me, and I give it to whomever I wish.
Yeah, that's true.
I mean, it says right there in the Bible that it's
So
his
you're saying that
authority, and he gives it to whomever he wishes.
the great men of the world, and I don't mean men as physical,
Right, of
I mean
course.
the people of the world, have been given their power and authority by Satan.
Yes. Oh, and that also explains why there are musicians that, there's a lot that I can use to substantiate this, but another thing that I was thinking is that, there are some musicians that are arguably really good. So, for example, you could say,
Oh,
man,
yeah,
I could
definitely.
play the guitar just as good as Jimmy Page, for example. I'm not saying me, but there are people who say, I'm just as good, if not better than him. I can do this, I can do that. Why is he famous and I'm not? And there's a million examples of that. People who are great at basketball, people, it's like, why is this person famous and I'm not? And a lot of people say, oh, well, that's just luck. And I don't think it is. I don't think it's just luck or chance. I think it's they are the ones who are willing to pledge their allegiance to
No, I
Satan.
get what you're saying. I'm not trying.
And here's another. So I was using this verse to tell Carmen the other day that the demons long for worship. And so how do they get that? Well, they get that vicariously through the people who they equip and empower. So
Absolutely.
when they make, for example, Celine Dion famous, Celine Dion is enjoying the wealth and the fame and the money, and but the demons are getting their form of worship through her, through who they empower.
That reminds me of the scripture where Paul says that the sacrifices that the Gentiles offer, they offer unto demons. Now, of course, they don't think they are. They're offering to them to their gods. But what I think what Paul's saying is behind those idols that the Gentiles worship, not there is a demonic presence, there's a power that the worship is also going to or is actually going to, unbeknownst to them.
And it's amazing. As I've become more sensitive to these things, I see it all the time. Like for, I mean, I see all these athletes and musicians and actors, you know, all of their photos, they always have, you know, they're covering one eye. They're doing, it's like, why are they all doing this? And if you're not sensitive to those things, you can just think, oh, they're being artistic. It's like they're not. They're showing who they're worshiping their God. And I think what Satan says is very telling. You know, that's why it was so tempting to Christ. It's like you see all these all this money and wealth and it's like he showed to him in a moment of time. It's like this is all mine and I give it to whom I want. So I'm, you know, and so for example, when we look at the Olympics, it's like I saw a picture of Snoop Dogg at the Olympics, and he had a Baphomet necklace that he was wearing. So why are you wearing Baphomet? And then Simone Biles, she's breaking all these records. If you look at her outfit, she has a little goat on her clothes, and she'll say that, oh, that stands for the acronym greatest of all time, right? But it also means that you're.
Who's the greatest of all time?
She's saying that she is. That's what GOAT
That's
stands
satanic right there.
for. That is the, yeah, you could say that too. It's like the GOAT is the greatest of all time, but why is she able to do all these things? Is it because of talent? I think it's because she's been equipped and enabled to do this because she's worshiping the God of this world, as is Snoop, as is probably Jordan and everybody else. I think that they're all satanic. I think if you're famous and you're rich and you're or more so the fame and the power and the extraordinary abilities, I think they're all aligned with Satan.
Well,
And
I
I'm sorry.
definitely agree with where you're going, but I might want to. I don't think it's you necessarily can say everybody who is rich is satanic.
No, I'm
Jesus
not saying if
said,
you're rich, you're
"How
satanic.
hardly shall a rich man enter the kingdom
Yeah,
of
I
heaven?"
didn't mean rich in and of itself. Pete is rich, but he's not famous. I'm saying it's more the fame and the extraordinary abilities. That's what I'm saying. You can just, you know, I don't know, have a rich uncle who dies and gives you a couple $1 million and you can be rich. I don't think you have to be satanic for that,
No,
right?
but I
But I'm
see
so
what
it's not rich in and of itself, but it's the fame, it's the power, and it's the extraordinary abilities.
although quoting the scripture that I getting back to the scripture I was quoting, how hardly shall the rich man enter the kingdom of heaven? It is a problem being rich. It's not that I'm not saying it's impossible, But riches are their own form of temptation
Yeah.
because you can do things without having to rely on God. You don't need a relationship with God to function in life as much as a poor person does.
Right.
Poor
That's a
person
big
is,
problem too.
you see. And what does John say? Love not the world, neither the things that are in the world, for the what the
Things of
love.
this world are passing away.
No.
Oh.
There's what's that first John? I want to read that because it's very relevant. Yeah, for first John 2:15, love not the world, neither the things that are in the world. If any man love the world, the love of the Father is not in him. For all that is in the world, the lust of the flesh, the lust of the eyes, and the pride of life is not of the Father, but is of the world. So these three things, the lust of the flesh, lust of the eyes, pride of life, they're again satanic temptations. Everything you want, I will, like you're saying, that's what Satan offers. I'll
Yeah.
offer all these things if you worship me.
Yeah.
So
And
I think, yeah, go on.
yeah, you're right. I think that being rich in and of itself, even if you're not famous or influential, that is its own problem, because primarily for what you said is that there's less dependence and reliance on God. You know, you even in this form of thankfulness, you're not going to be like thanking God for this meal. It's like, well, I could buy this meal and meals for everybody in my neighborhood if I wanted to. And so there's a less dependency on God, which is a
Or
problem.
there could be. There doesn't have
Yeah.
to, but there could. It's
But I've just been lately thinking about a lot of the just I guess the Olympics
Yeah, the Olympics are problematic
and
too.
all of these things. And it's like, I think that if you have abilities and yeah, I think even the talent and everything that they have, if you're an extraordinary guitar player or you're flying through the air like it's like, how do you have that power? I think it's demonic. And now the younger version of me would have said, oh, come on, that's insane. But I think it now, and I believe that the Beatles probably were satanic.
Yeah, I think it's easy to get people, I can see how people would be upset and not understand if you were to say something like that. Because when you say a thing is satanic, they immediately, like you were stated when you first made this presentation here, they're thinking of it being something very overtly satanic,
Yes.
something that's violent or evil.
Right, like Slayer, you could say, okay, that's satanic. They're saying they're satanic. You know what I mean? So that's what I was thinking. Whereas the Beatles aren't, certainly they're not doing anything like that. So how can they be satanic?
But if you look at, I have two passages. They're from the Old Testament. I think they're very interesting because it talks about the fall of Satan. And I think they give some insight into this. One's in Ezekiel 28. I'm going to read these.
I just turned right to it.
Isn't that amazing?
Well, Ezekiel, at least. Right?
28, I think it starts around verse. Well, actually, it starts right in the beginning. Because this is the prophecy against the Prince of Tyre. But obviously, it's talking about somebody other than the literal Prince of Tyre. And you'll see it right away. It says, because you've been so haughty and have said, I am a god, I sit enthroned like a god in the heart of the seas. Whereas you are not a god, but a man, though you deemed your mind equal to God. Do you see? You deemed your mind equal to a god's. That's like the exact antithesis to what is said about Jesus in Philippians.
Okay.
Two, I'm going to read that now because I want to contrast Christ with Satan. and see this exact antithesis. In Philippians, well, actually, yeah, two, starting with five, Paul says, "Let this mind be in you, which was also in Christ Jesus, who, being in the form of God, thought it not robbery to be equal with God." Or that's old, that's King James English. What does yours say? Because it'll probably be a lot clearer.
I didn't turn to it. I can turn to
Oh.
it. Let me find it.
We don't have to do
No,
that.
it's okay. Give me a second. It was Philippians
Oh,
what?
it's 2:6.
Let this mind be in you, which was also in Christ Jesus, who, being in the form of God, did not consider robbery to be equal with God, but made himself of no reputation, taking the form of a bondservant and coming in the likeness of men. Yeah, and it goes on.
And being found in fashion as a man, he
And being
humbled
found in,
himself and became obedient unto death, even the death of the cross. Glory to God. So the thing that you see in Jesus is, number one, not trying to be equal with God, or to grasp, or to, let's say, a desire of to compete with God. He's not trying to become greater than God or to compete with God.
Right, in fact, he did the opposite.
He's trying to submit to God, to do the will of God, to accomplish God's will on earth, not accomplish his own will, not say, well, I have all this authority, so I'm going to replace you. I'm going to, that's almost like there's a lot of Greek myths where there's that conflict where the son wants to replace the king father. You have that act of that rebellion that's brooding in the background. You definitely have that in Satan, because I want to also look at Isaiah 14, because you're going to see that there also. Isaiah 14, 12 through 15, where God says, "How are you fallen from heaven, O shining one, son of dawn? How are you fell to earth, O vanquisher of nations? Once you thought in your heart, I will climb to the sky higher than the stars of God. I will set my throne. I will sit in the mount of assembly on the summit of Zaphon. I will mount the back of a cloud. I will match the Most High. Instead, you were brought down to Sheol, to the bottom of the pit." And I think this is describing the initial rebellion of Satan, that he thought to supplant God. So it's that attitude that Satan had when Satan tempted Adam and Eve with the fruit of the tree. He says, "Eat this because it's going to make you like God." In essence, he's telling them to do what he did. That's the temptation that's offered to man. And that's where I think what you're saying about the athletes and the musicians is very, it could be, really right on, because that's, do this and you'll be like a god. How many rock stars want to be like gods? You know what I mean? I think that's where the temptation comes in, or athletes, to have all this power, do things that nobody
And
else can do.
if all of this authority has been given to Satan and he gives it to whomever he wishes, why would he give that to someone who is his who's aligned with his enemy? You know what I mean? I can't
Well,
see, you know, I don't know how to.
I don't think he would.
Right. It doesn't make sense. So it's the world isn't just
Unless,
open.
although, yeah, no, go on,
No, I
yeah.
was just gonna say it's not that like the world is just open for anybody to take these opportunities and you can be anything you want. That's not true. It's everything is spiritual, and I don't think that that is, I don't think that there are exceptions to that. I think that if you're going to want to be something significant in your field, whether you're an actor or an athlete or a musician or anything like that, you're going to have to make that decision.
Well, the decision has to be to choose God as opposed to
Well,
choosing Satan. That's
right.
a real
And if you
decision.
do, though, you will be committing career suicide. You're not going to be anything of significance.
Maybe
Well, you know what I'm
in the
saying?
eyes of man, but not in the eyes of
Of
God.
course, right.
I mean, I don't think you need to. It's In other words, I'm saying I don't think you need to preach a sort of defeatism where we would be telling the Christian, well, you need to be a loser of some kind in order to be a Christian. I don't think God's saying that.
No, I
It's,
wasn't trying to say
oh,
that.
okay. I'm just saying I want to be sure
I
we
mean, I
know.
don't think you're a loser if you're not
You might
famous.
be a loser in the eyes of the world because of what is valued by the world. The world might consider there's in fact that's the one of the lines from Dylan's Property of Jesus. I don't know if you know that one. Where do you know that song?
No.
Oh, okay.
Although he's another one that I that is on my list.
I yeah, well, you can put him on the list, but the song is good because what he says, he's the song, the way the song works is he's saying how this is one of his Christian songs, how in the eyes of the world, they're saying all these negative things about the person who's trying to live a Christian life, say that he's a loser, that he's got no common sense because he doesn't try to, I don't know the exact word, but something to the effect that he doesn't try to increase his wealth at someone else's expense.
Yeah.
Because he's the property of Jesus. That's what he's saying, but he keeps giving these examples. So in the eyes of the world, you're a loser, but he's a property of Jesus.
Well, right. I mean, does scripture say that too? Have I not called the lowly things of the world? But
But yeah, it's a problem. And you saw probably are aware of all the controversy about the opening of the Olympics
oh, of
this.
course, I saw all of that. It was all
And
satanic.
it's very blatant. If that isn't an overt, declaration of.
But yeah, I mean, and why did they have to do that? It's like, who's the one who is enabling us to do all this? We have to worship him. I mean, they are very, what's the word? They're very
It's a celebration
with worshiping to be.
of man's independence from God.
Yeah.
And the display of the prowess of man is to show to so, is I think to show to God, we don't need you. We can be great without you. Now I may be reading into things, but that's where how why I think that's what makes it satanic. It's not satanic because you've got a goat symbol on you. You got the goat symbol because you're satanic. That doesn't make it satanic. What makes it satanic is that the people who are putting those symbols on have already made the decisions in their lives
Yes.
that they're going to live a life independent of God
Right.
and
And
Father.
to the undiscerning eye, this go, oh, that's cute. She's got a little goat on her, whatever you call her outfit, because she's the greatest of all time. It's like, yeah, that's what you think, but she's really saying, I'm worshiping Satan. And because he's given me, or I'm hoping that he will enable me to do this performance and get a goal, so I need to worship him and show my allegiance to Satan, right? I've so
But yeah,
look,
it's
all I'm saying
interesting.
is that I am convinced that you're not going to become anything in this on the world stage unless you're worshiping the God of this world.
Yeah,
And
maybe.
that's that. I don't know what else to say.
I think it to if that is your objective. In other words, when Jesus was tempted, it wasn't like he was trying to become Jesus Christ superstar before he was tempted. That wasn't his objective. I think if it was his objective, he would have fallen prey to Satan's temptation.
Right.
He would have, because his heart would have been in the wrong place to start with. But he wasn't trying to do it. That's what Philippians is saying. He wasn't set on becoming the greatest of all time. His heart was set on doing the will of his father. You see that? That's what I think is so important. Because if your heart is in the wrong place, then when the temptation comes, it's going to be, oh, yeah, that's exactly what I want.
Of course. And to these people who are not Christians or, and their hearts are not regenerated, when someone comes and offers them all, just like Jesus, I can give you all the, I can make you famous and rich. It's like, that's what I want.
Yeah.
Do it. You know,
So,
I could talk about this all night.
yeah.
But I always, I guess I've read this a lot throughout my life. I probably skimmed through this even as a child and into my adult years, and it never really resonated with me or had much
Yeah.
meaning. I was just like, okay, yeah, this is just Jesus being tempted and all that. But when you really look at it, it's like, wow, that's really amazing what Satan says there. Because it really gives you an insight into what's going on in this world.
Yeah.
You know,
Really.
another thing that I think is really amazing about this and this exchange is that when Satan presents something and God says, oh, well, scripture says this, Satan doesn't say, as a lot of people in the world say, oh, that's nonsense, that's stupid. Satan says, wait a second, don't the scriptures say this?
Yeah.
Scriptures say that. And that's very dangerous because, we can do that ourselves when we have these internal dialogues.
Absolutely, you can.
When we want to do something that's sinful and we go, for example, I'm tempted to commit adultery with this girl. And it's like, well, the Bible says that you shouldn't commit adultery. On the other hand, and I can't think of anything, but you
Yeah.
could say, the Bible also says this and this and this. And then what about, so in other words, you can use scripture and argue yourself into violating scripture.
Yeah.
Do you see what I'm saying? And it's not just an outright repudiation. He's saying, wait a second, doesn't the Bible say this? It does. And Satan is using scripture to argue against Christ.
That's the
That's very
temptation
dangerous.
where he says, why don't you cast yourself down from the
Right,
temple?
that's from Psalms.
Yeah, because the Bible says he'll give his angels,
Right, and
to protect
to
you.
someone lesser than Christ, which we all are, that could be very compelling. You know, we'd say, throw yourself down from this steeple and say, well, I can't test the Lord. Say, wait a second, doesn't the scripture say that, he'll give his angels charge over you? And it's like, oh, that's right. So now, I guess I am allowed to do that because scriptures do, in fact, say what you said that they do. But then he would be listening to Satan at that point. It's very, my point is that we need to be aware of this because I think this happens in everybody's lives. Not in the sense that Satan is coming down having an exchange with us, but even internally, we can have these types of internal
Yeah.
dialogues. We're using scripture to justify our own wicked desires.
Yeah, and there again shows the importance of being right in your heart. That's because Jesus, Satan's statement that he will give his angels charge over thee is not false.
Right.
It's not a false, but it's not justification in and of itself for the taking the action that he's suggesting. The fact that the angels will protect you doesn't, there's nothing in that statement that says what you should do. How do you go from the fact that the angels will protect you to jump off this building?
Right.
The only reason you would want to do that is if you wanted to prove to Satan or to the world that you actually had some power, that you had the access to this divine power, which is what Satan's saying. If you're the son of God, prove it. Jump off the building.
Yeah.
Now, it's this desire to prove that is really the ungod the satanic desire.
Right.
And there it and in the scriptures don't actually let tell you to do that. They only say that God will protect you, which he will. If you're doing his will, he's going to be protecting you. I think I was reading a psalm today that said that. But nevertheless,
You know, we really need to be on our guard because Satan knows the scriptures better than probably any human being. And if our adversary knows the scriptures and can use them against us, we better really be in the word and in prayer and reading because he's able to twist scripture and use it against you. He knows the Bible better than you. In fact, he did the exact same thing in the garden when he went to Eve. He says, did God say
That's it.
that? Right? He didn't say,
Exactly right.
oh, that's nonsense. That's stupid. That doesn't, you know what I mean? That's not going to happen. He didn't say that. He just says, did God say that? You know, and if you don't know, if you're not equipped, like Ephesians says, he's going to destroy you. And he'll do that using own scriptures.
Or misinterpreting them. Because with Eve, the question again, what he's doing is having suggesting to Eve to question the scripture at the motivation, God's motivation for giving the command, and then letting that be a justification for not keeping the commandment. It's sort of like a lot of modern criticism. You know, you try to deconstruct the meaning. You know,
Yeah.
behind it. But man, that's pretty powerful stuff.
Yeah. Anything else we want to say about this?
No, I think that's pretty good. It's funny, I'll say one other thing. It's funny because you were talking about the Olympics. And Linda had on this afternoon on I think it was on Netflix. She was watching this thing about the We Are the World concert.
Oh yeah,
Did you
I
see
saw that.
that?
Yeah.
You did see it? I'm listening to it in the background because I'm doing stuff around the kitchen. And the first thing that strikes me is the We Are the World. And I know what just from the verse I just read you in First John, we are not of the world.
Right.
You know, but the whole emphasis of that was, I know there, you see, it was justified because they were doing good, or you know, was to help the children in Africa, but it wasn't only that. It was like, again, like the Olympics. Look how great we are.
Yep.
It's funny because Lionel Richie was over at Michael Jackson's house when they were trying to write the song. You remember that? And the snake comes out.
Oh,
He was
yeah.
writing there, and all of a sudden the snake comes out. Michael goes, "Oh, he just wants to say hi to you or meet you." And I'm thinking to myself, that is so profound.
Wow, you know what?
When they and it was right when he wrote the verse, as soon as he's writing that line, "We are the world," the snake sticks his face right in his face. You had to meet him. I thought
That's
that's
amazing. Yeah.
the
That's a
story.
very, that's very insightful. You know, we watched that and I didn't even pick up on that.
Wow, it hit me like a ton of bricks when I saw that. But,
There you go. Doesn't it actually what I'm saying that it's all satanic?
No, I agree with what you're
Because
saying.
again, that just that story alone, it's like he's like goes over his house, like, okay, we gotta write this song. It's like, okay, let's and then in one sitting, they're just like, boom, here's the melody, here's the words, and then they just knock out the song.
Yep. And then
And then the serpent too.
the snake comes to say, good job.
Yeah.
Unreal.
That's amazing. Yeah, the serpent is there to say, you know, well done.
Yeah. How good and faithful.
It's all satanic.
Oh, man.
You know, even Bob Dylan, I think, you know, when I was watching documentaries about him, they said that, you know, when he first showed up in Greenwich Village, he was one of, you know, a hundred people doing the same thing he was doing. You know, all playing acoustic guitar, singing folk songs, you know, and he didn't stand out any more than anyone else did. And then all of a sudden, out of nowhere, Columbia signs him, gives him a record, and he's famous. It's like, how did he just show up on the scene, do nothing really important? Everybody else was overlooked. Dylan was picked, signed immediately, and given a contract. I think that he
But
went to the
so
crossroads.
you're saying that there was something about Dylan that was, you see, that's where I
No,
want
I'm
to go.
saying that I think Dylan went to the crossroads.
Well,
And he
everybody
came
goes to,
back.
but
No, and he came back and then that's how he had that
so you
record.
think all the people who weren't signed by Columbia, this is where I don't want to go. I don't want to say that all the people that Columbia didn't sign. When they went to the crossroads, they somehow succeeded.
I don't think that they went to the
They didn't,
crossroads.
but why didn't they?
Maybe they don't want to make that jump.
Maybe, don't know. Of course, you could say, why did Satan chat, or why did Satan tempt Adam and Eve? Because there was a reason. And it's because I think it's because he was originally, as you read in Isaiah and Ezekiel, he was the one who was given all the, he was like the, I think he may have been God's original choice for the Messiah. And he failed in that he vaunted himself against God. He failed what in the test that Jesus succeeded in. And he was cast out of heaven as a result. Now, God's starting over with a new creation. Adam is potentially the new Messiah. Satan's got to defeat him. So Satan's going after the people that pose a threat to him, not the people who are more. Necessarily more evil than the other. I think the other people who, I think a lot of the people who didn't get signed by Columbia probably are just as evil or more evil as far as their morality is
I
concerned.
see. That's a good point. Yes, you're right. Like Dave Von Ronk or something like that, I'm sure would have loved to have had the career that
Yeah, well, Von Ronk had an
I know. Okay, but you know what I'm saying. I'm trying to just think of an example, but my
yeah.
point is, you're
But
right. It's
there's
not
got
like
to
they're
be people.
more pious. They're just as depraved and wicked as Dylan is,
But
but I
maybe
think.
not as much of a threat. If
Right.
Satan's already got you, he doesn't need to tempt you. It's simple as that.
Yeah, that's profound.
So I just don't want to oversimplify all this because then it just leaves us open to more criticism.
Huh.
But, very good though.
You know, by the way, before I forget, and I don't want to get too off the topic, but I'm reading in Revelation right now, and at the part where it says, woe to the earth because Satan is cast down to
Cast
you.
out. Yeah.
That is a future event. In other words,
Yes, right.
as of right now, Satan is still walking around in the heavenlies.
But
Right?
he's
Because
in the
Job,
heavenlies. But read
remember
that
how,
passage
wait,
in
hold on, Dad.
different.
You know how
Yeah.
in Job it says that all the angels presented themselves to God and
Yep.
Satan there. And he
Yep.
says, hey, have you considered Job? And so he's there walking around in heaven. And so Satan right now is still there in heaven walking around. He hasn't been cast out into the earth yet.
No, but he has been cast out of the presence of God, I believe. When Jesus ascended, because when Jesus ascended into the presence of God, he now was the rightful Messiah and ruler of heaven and earth. Satan had to be cast out, but he wasn't cast into the earth. He was cast into there's different levels of heaven. He was cast into the lower level. If you read in Revelation, it even implies that. Where's that passage?
Let me find it. What is it, like 13 or something?
13.
Let me see if I can find it. What was I just reading? Yeah, I think it's 13. Or is it
Come down. Okay. And he doeth great wonders that he maketh
Oh,
fire.
it's 12. I'm sorry.
Okay.
And I think it's in 10 that I heard.
And I heard a loud voice saying in heaven, now
Yes.
has come salvation and strength and the kingdom of our God and the power of his Christ. For the accuser of our brethren is cast down, which accused them before our God day and night. And they overcame by the blood of the Lamb, by the word, the testament, and they
Right, and
loved
then it goes
them
on to
much.
say, woe to the inhabitants of
Therefore,
the earth.
rejoice, ye heavens, and ye that dwell in them. Woe to the inhabitants of the earth, for the devil has come down unto you, having great wrath, because he knoweth that he hath but a short time. Now,
So my thought was that Satan is not on this earth. He's in the heavenly realm.
yeah, in verse, you have to look at verse 9 too. It's or 7. It says, there was war in heaven. Michael and his angels fought against the dragon, and the dragon fought against his angels and prevailed not. Neither was their place found anymore in heaven. And the great dragon was cast out, that old serpent called the devil and Satan, which deceives the whole world. He was cast out into the earth, and his angels. So in this At this time, he's cast out into the earth. That's the time of the great tribulation.
Right.
Prior to that, he's not cast into the earth. But Jesus says, I beheld Satan. Doesn't he say, I beheld Satan falling?
Yes.
And that's what I'm saying. He may have been cast out or down from his position that he had in the time of Job when Jesus ascended, but not completely out because he's still called the accuser of the brethren by Paul. Now, I don't know how did it.
There's going to be a time in the future when Satan is really on the earth.
Right. In other words, he has no more authority in the heavens. That's what is said, being said in Revelation 12.
Yeah, that's crazy.
Because you have that battle that's taking place. That's amazing.
With you mean Michael and his
Michael
angels?
and his angels, yeah.
Don't the Mexicans have statues of Michael? and he's stepping on Satan's head or something like that. Yeah.
I have a footnote here, John 16:21. I want to look that up. I wrote, I'm glad I do that every once in a while. 16. Oh, no, that's not
So,
going to help. Okay. Let me continue so we can finish
okay.
this chapter. Luke,
16, 4:16.
I'm up to verse 16.
Yep.
Okay. And he came to Nazareth, where he had been brought up. And as his custom was, he went into the synagogue on the Sabbath day and stood up to read. And there was delivered unto him the book of the prophet Isaiah. And when he had opened the book, he found the place where it was written, "The Spirit of the Lord is upon me, because he hath anointed me to preach the gospel to the poor. He hath sent me to heal the brokenhearted, to preach deliverance to the captives, and recovering of sight to the blind, to set at liberty them that are bruised, to preach the acceptable year of the Lord." And he closed the book, and he gave it again to the minister, and sat down. And the eyes of all them that were in the synagogue were fastened on him. And he began to say unto them, "This day is the scripture fulfilled in your ears." And all bare him witness, and wondered at the gracious words which proceeded out of his mouth. And they said, "Is not this Joseph's son?" And he said unto them, "You will surely say unto me this proverb, Physician, heal thyself. Whatsoever we have heard done in Capernaum, do also here in thy country." And he said, "Verily, I say unto you, no prophet is accepted in his own country. But I tell you of the truth, many widows were in Israel in the days of Elias, when the heaven was shut up 3 years and 6 months, when great famine was throughout all the land. But unto none of them was Elias sent, save unto Sarepta, a city of Sidon, unto a woman that was a widow. And many lepers were in Israel in the time of Eliseus the prophet, and none of them was cleansed, saving Naaman the Syrian. And all they in the synagogue, when they heard these things, were filled with wrath, and rose up and thrust him out of the city, and led him unto the brow of the hill whereon their city was built, and that they might cast him down headlong. But he passing through the midst of them, went his way, and came down to Capernaum, a city of Galilee, and taught them on the Sabbath days." I'm going to stop there. So this is taking place in Nazareth, where he was brought up. He goes into the synagogue, and it's customary for, it's considered an honor to be asked to read the scriptures. So it may have been an act of them try of honoring Jesus by having him to come up to read the scripture portion for the week. And he reads it, and he comments on it after he reads it when he sits down. And the comment, he goes on to say that he's prophesying that you're not going to accept my testimony because no prophet is with. Was honored in his own country. And he gives two examples. And it's interesting. He talks about the widow that Elijah stayed with
Yeah.
during the famine that was going on. And he also talks about
The leper with
the
Elisha.
leper that Elisha heals. And it's interesting because the widow, he says, is from Sidon, which is in Lebanon, and Naaman was from Syria. He was the general of the Syria for the Syrian army. So they're both non-Jews.
Yeah.
They're receiving the message, and he's saying the people that should have received the message, to whom Elijah and Elisha were basically sent, none of them came looking for healing. They didn't come, or they weren't in a position, let's say, to receive from God. Because that's what it is. Naaman, particularly, when he was told by his attendant, there's this prophet in in Israel, who can heal you. And he immediately wanted to go find him and have him be healed. And he's saying, well, how come nobody in Israel wanted to be healed?
Yeah.
I was thinking about that, when I was thinking about Adam and Eve and the temptation regarding the earlier topic. And I asked myself, why is it there was the tree of life was in the garden also, right? And God even says we've got to drive them out. We can't let them eat the tree of life now that they've eaten the tree of good knowledge of good and evil, lest they live forever and be like gods. Apparently, they never thought it was worth eating. Which is really fascinating to me because it's like, here's this tree. It says in the book of Revelation that in the New
Yeah.
Jerusalem, the tree of life is going to be there. And nobody, they didn't think it was worth, apparently, there was any need to eat of it. But when Satan said, look at this tree, it'll make you like gods. Knowing good, now they felt, oh, there's a great need for that. We need to have this. And I think it was because they felt we've already got life. We're alive. What do we need the tree of life for? What's that going to do for us? Not realizing that's the life of God. That's the divine life that's going, it's like what we receive when we believe on the Lord Jesus Christ. We're receiving the tree of life.
Yeah.
That's if you don't feel you have any need for it, you're never going to receive it. That's what faith, that's the interesting thing about faith. It's just taking what God is offering you.
Yeah. Yeah, I was thinking about that too when I was reading Revelation. It's pretty amazing that it says that we will eat of the tree of life,
Yeah.
which is amazing.
I know this is going to be a real long study, but we still got.
That's okay.
A few more
But it
verses.
is true
31.
that,
What?
wait, it is this, it is true that when they say, hey, is this not Joseph's son? There's that statement is like familiarity
Yeah,
reduced.
breeds contempt. Yeah.
Well, you know, it reduces the mystique or the aura of someone. In other words, if I'm playing in downtown Riverside with the guitar and they go, oh, where do you live? It's like I live 10 minutes from here in Riverside. Like, who
Yeah.
cares? But if I say, oh no, I'm from New York and I'm traveling across the country, like, oh, now
Yeah.
all of a sudden I'm far more valuable because
Yeah.
I'm not familiar. But if people, anyone who knows you and can, you're accessible, approachable, it's like, who cares? But if I come from far away, now there's like, oh, who is this person?
Yeah.
You're not valued in your own land.
Yeah, it
Your
is
own,
true.
and that's why Jesus says that a prophet is not without honor except in his own country. And it's true. If they know who you are and where you're from and who your parents are, you're not going to really do anything that they're going to be impressed with. But if you go to another state or another country, people say, oh, this is impressive.
Yeah.
Even if it's the same thing because they don't know you. Anyway,
Yeah.
whatever that's worth.
So we're on 31 again.
Yeah.
He came down to Capernaum, a city of Galilee, and taught them on the Sabbath days. In fact, that's what Jesus said. You're going to say we've do the things that you did in Capernaum here. So he
Yeah.
goes down there, and they were astonished at his doctrine, for his word was with power. And in the synagogue there was a man which had a spirit of an unclean devil, and cried out with a loud voice, saying, let us alone. What have we to do with thee, thou Jesus of Nazareth? Art thou come to destroy us? I know thee, who thou art, the Holy One of God. And Jesus rebuked them, saying, hold that peace, and come out of it. And when the devil had thrown him in the midst, he came out of him and hurt him not. And they were all amazed and spake among themselves, saying, what a word is this? For with authority and power he commandeth the unclean spirits, and they come out. And the fame of him went out into every place of the country round about. And he arose out of the synagogue and entered into Simon's house. And Simon's wife's mother was taken with a great fever, and they besought him for her. And he stood over her and rebuked the fever, and he left her, and it left her. And immediately she arose and ministered unto them. Now when the sun was setting, all they that had any sick with divers diseases brought them unto him, and he laid his hands on every one of them and healed them. And devils also came out of many, crying out and saying, Thou art Christ, the Son of God. And he, rebuking them, suffered them not to speak, for they knew he was Christ. And when it was day, he departed and went into a desert place, and the people sought him, and came unto him, and stayed him, that he should not depart from them. And he said unto them, I must preach the kingdom of God to other cities also, for therefore am I sent. And he preached in the synagogues of Galilee. It's interesting that when he read the passage from Isaiah, when he was still in Nazareth, he said, The Spirit of the Lord is upon me because he hath anointed me to preach the gospel to the poor. He has sent me to heal the brokenhearted, to preach deliverance to the captives and recovering of sight to the blind, and to set at liberty them that are bruised. And he's doing that with the healings that he's. In other words, he's demonstrating with power the things that he said God had sent him to proclaim, that the kingdom of God is here, meaning that if the kingdom of God is here, then Satan's power is broken. So the demons can be cast out. The diseases that are manifestations of Satan's bond, holding you in bondage, can be broken and you can be healed.
That's another thing that stood out to me two times in this last section. The demons said, I know who you are. You're the Holy One of God.
Yes.
Later on, they say, you are the Christ, the Son of God. It's amazing that those are the demons that are saying that.
Yeah. They know who he is, but they don't believe on him.
No, I know. It's just amazing because it's like, what a strange thing. I think Spurgeon says this is like atheism is a strange thing because even the demons aren't guilty of that. Like to just say like I don't know who God is, and it's like even the demons aren't guilty of that.
Yeah.
Isn't that weird? It's a strange thing
It's
that
also
I'm
proves that you shouldn't confuse knowledge with faith. Knowing something is not the same as believing it in
right. I
terms of
think
the Bible.
James says that, right?
Yeah. The devils believe and tremble. Yeah.
You
Yeah. I
believe
mean, it,
well
oh,
the
I
demon.
believe. Yeah. You believe what? You believe that Jesus existed. You believe that Jesus is the Son of God. But are you believing him like going to the tree and eating from it?
Right. And that took me a long time to learn too, that it's not just, believing in God. It's like, okay, yeah, I believe that there's a God who created the
Yeah.
world and the earth. It's like, okay, great. You've done just as much as the demons have done. The demons
Yeah.
know.
Yeah, they know who he
That's
is.
not placing
In
your.
fact, they know they probably know it a lot more real than we do. Because they have the spiritual, they really know that he is God, but they are not his, they're not his people. They don't belong to him.
I know that's so weird, right? To think about that the demons really know.
Yeah.
Probably deeper than anybody else, and yet even, but they haven't been granted the regenerating power. They haven't been given that.
That is not
It's, that
apparently.
didn't show, that's
There's
that.
no not there's no record of demons repenting that I know of.
No, but it's just amazing that they're like, I know who you are. You're the Holy One of God.
Another thing, it may not be that I don't know if salvation is available to them. In that.
Not if you believe in election.
Because, well, it has nothing to do with that. For sin says, by man
Oh,
came death,
right.
by man also is the resurrection. They're
The
not men, they're not humans.
scriptures say that the when Satan and his angels were cast out of heaven, they weren't the fallen angels were never given an opportunity
Maybe
I
not.
thought we should. Whereas,
Because their sin was of a different nature.
and that's another thing that I think people should really take seriously. It's like, if you're alive on this earth right now, you have the opportunity to place your faith in Christ, which is something that the angels were never given. They were just cast out. And it's irretrievably set. And yet you have an opportunity now to seek forgiveness in Christ and to not take the
Yeah,
angel.
that's the gospel.
Those demons are probably thinking, like, man, we would trade places with you in an instant. But we were never even given that opportunity.
Well,
Right?
yeah. They may not have the desire either.
Right.
Because this is all it's all tied together. I don't know. Anyway, that is the conclusion of the chapter.
That was a good study. That was
It
one.
was a long one. Yeah. I'm going to stop the recording here.